is preachers in the pulpit. Preachers in the pulpit. We got to deal with churches too. What in the world is going on?
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's preachers in the pulpit. The churches are failing in this country. I want to know why. I have with me Pastor Chad Holtz. He is the pastor of Mountain View United Methodist Church in Dayton, Tennessee. And I saw the pastor in the movie Hellbound from 2012. And back then, he questioned the existence of hell. And as a result of that, he was kicked out of his former church as a pastor. Because you're not allowed to question hell. They threw him out. And today he says that he is a different person. He has repented for that, and he's a different person. So I want to talk to him about that and other things that are going on with the church. Pastor Holtz, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate the invitation.
I appreciate you being here. I don't know a lot about you. I did see you in the movie Hellbound. Were you called by God, or did you have to go to school to become a pastor?
Yes to both. I felt a call in my life when I was 13 years old to be a pastor. And over a course of many years and my running from that call for many years, I finally ended up back in school, and I did get a degree in Bible and theology from Lee University, and then went and got my master's in divinity from Duke Divinity.
What age were you when you were called?
I was 13.
13. And what did the calling look like?
For me, well, I come from a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, so it's probably not a big surprise that I was just part of church life all my life. But for me, it was a real audible sort of call. I remember being woken up in the middle of the night for weeks and sensing this real a strong voice within my spirit saying, I want you to be a pastor. I'm calling you into ministry. And it wasn't until I accepted that call and said, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that I had some peace in my life. But it was I remember it as a very real defining moment in my life as a young man.
And then you said yes at 13?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Then why did you run? You say you ran for a while from that. Why did you run from it?
Yeah, I did. I turned 18 and went off to school for a semester. And at this time, I got sidetracked. I fell into sin. I fell into, as my blog talks about in my testimony, which I assume maybe we'll talk about a little bit, but I ended up getting addicted to pornography is one thing, but also just a lifestyle which I thought that I deserved and needed because I had been quote-unquote good all my teen years and young life. I thought I was missing something, that maybe God was keeping something from me. And so I call it my Jonah years. I joined the Navy at the age of 19, and for 8 years I traveled around the world with the Navy, sort of just indulging in anything I wanted and everything I wanted, living my life my way. And
but if you accepted the calling that you knew for sure was from God at the age of 13, why didn't God prepare you to protect you from all of those things? He would have known that you were going to go out and do that, and why would he call you at such an early age knowing that you got to go through all this other stuff first?
Sure, that's a great question. Well, looking back now, I believe that it was part of what God was preparing me to be in ministry for, to help. I'm able as a pastor now. I believe it made me a better pastor, has made me a better pastor today.
Okay.
Because I've been able to go through that. instance, I preached a sermon about using the story of Joshua from the Old Testament, from Genesis, for example. And Joshua knew from a very young age that he was called to be a leader of his people at the age of 17. And yet, I'm sure throughout the next 11 years of his life, while he was sold into slavery and that in Egypt, and then finds himself in a dungeon because of what Potiphar's wife accused him of, and through he went through a lot before he was able to be.
But was he out? Was he out there sinning, carrying on after God called him?
No, I don't believe he was.
But you were sinning though, and he wasn't.
Yes,
so that's not a good example.
I believe it's a good example. I believe it's an example of showing God's grace and mercy throughout our afflictions and throughout the various things. I fell away and I chased after my own things. But that doesn't negate, I don't think, the call that God put on my life.
I'm not saying that he did or did not call you. I hear a lot of preachers say that they were called when they were 5. Al Sharpton was called at 6, and you see what happened with that one. And a lot of preachers say that, and I just wonder why. Are you married?
I am.
Are you the head of your wife?
How do you mean that?
Oh, God. Not one of those.
You don't know what that question means when I ask,
are you the head of your wife?
I'm the spiritual leader of my home, yes.
No, I ask, are you the head of your wife?
I don't understand what you're getting at there. If you mean that in the sense that I'm the spiritual leader of my home, yes.
That's two times. Are you the head of your wife?
As I said, as the spiritual leader of my home, yes, I am.
But not the head of your wife?
You'd have to explain what you mean by that.
So you have a college degree in ministry, and you don't know what head of your wife means?
I know what a lot of people assume that to mean, that it means some sort of authoritative
dictator. That what you assume, too?
No, that's not what I believe it
means.
Then
why are you running away from the question based on what other people think it means? Let me take a quick break. Hold on. Pastor Chad Holtz is with me. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Holtz.
Holtz. Okay.
If you don't mind, give me a moment to answer your question.
What question was that?
That we left off about being the head of my wife.
Yes.
And about why that matters, what other people think or listen to. It matters because we live in a secular age, in an unchristian, unchurched culture, where just a little soundbite of saying, yes, I'm the head of my wife, it doesn't relate or make sense to a lot of people who say that. So when I say, that's why I ask, you know, explain what that means. So let me tell you what it means
so
for me.
So do you think that Jesus Christ, if he had been married and was asked that question, that he would not answer correctly because of a secular society and what they would do with a soundbite?
I think what he would do is he would show what it looks like by getting down on his knees and washing his wife's feet.
No, do you think he would answer that question in that way? Would he be concerned about secular society taking a soundbite from the truth and using it against him? Would he be concerned about that at all? Yes or no?
Well, I'm not Jesus, and
answer that question about him. Do you think he would be afraid of secular society?
No, he's not afraid of it. I'm not.
Because you're afraid that they would take your yes and use it against you.
You're misunderstanding me, Jesse.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of what they're saying. I want to be clear that they do understand me. I don't want to be confusing. I want to be clear.
But how would yes?
What it looks like.
How would yes be confusing? Yes is clear.
No, because yes, when you say just head of your wife, it can be misunderstood in our culture as meaning any number of things. So let me say what it means. For me, it means I serve my wife.
But you're not the head of your wife, so you don't know what it means.
I don't know why you can say that. I just told you that I am, but let me explain. explain.
You
to
are
what
the
that
head.
Means.
You are the head of your wife.
Yes, but I'm asking you to please let me explain what that means.
Okay, go ahead.
That means that I lay my life down for my wife. In the margin of my Bible, next to Ephesians 5, for example, it says, if there is a problem in my marriage, it's my fault. The buck stops with me. It's on my shoulders. It's on my plate. That's what being the head of my home means.
No, it's the head of your wife, means. Not your home, your wife.
Sir, you're welcome to twist that however you want. I'm simply saying
does
that
does the Bible say be the head of your home or the head of your wife?
It says to be the head of your wife.
Then why are you taking the word wife out and replacing it with home?
I'm trying to explain what this means for me, okay? What it means for me to live that out. I can sit here and answer any question you want, but if we're not talking about how you live that out, it doesn't make any sense.
How do you live
so for
that?
Me,
do you wash?
For me,
you say you can get down and wash your wife's foot?
Yes, I'm saying it's about serving people. It's
have
about
you ever done that
her.
To your wife? You wash her foot?
Actually, yes, we have. We've had a church service where we had a foot washing service. Yes,
so,
I have.
Did she wash yours too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Whew. Yeah, I mean, nervous there for a minute.
But the point there that Jesus is making by washing his disciples' feet is that we're to serve one another, not to be lord over one another. And so when our culture, which is unchristian and they don't understand what that means to serve each other, when you just go around saying, are you the head of someone, they take that to mean, are you some sort of authority figure in the sense of being in a power struggle or a game like that? And that's not what it means at all. It means I
serve my
wife.
Do you care about what they think?
Sure I do. I'm a pastor.
Oh, okay. Were you close to your father or your mother?
I was close to both.
Which one the most?
I was close to both. I don't know that I would say one or the other.
So you had the same type of relationship with your father that you had with your mother?
I had a very good relationship with both of them.
Oh, you did? Okay. I want to, you were thrown out of your church because you questioned the existence of hell. What caused you to question the existence of hell?
I guess a number of things, but one of it was just some reading and exploration I was doing just theologically, but it was also, I'm sure, had to do with my own sin that I was involved in and the inability to be able to understand how God could send someone like me to hell when I was wrapped up in what I called it at that time an addiction and felt pretty powerless over it. So over time, it wasn't something that happened overnight, but it was over the course of several years that became something that I thought was truth.
And so did you stand up in your church and preach that there was no hell?
No, never from the church. It was all in writing. It was on a blog and so forth. But people were reading that, obviously, and they didn't agree with what I was thinking and saying and prescribing on my blog posts and so forth. And so we parted ways.
And then... But I think that you have the right to question the existence of anything, hell or heaven. You have a right to ask that question if you're not sure. Why would they throw you out of a church because you questioned that?
I was beyond just simply questioning it. It wasn't like some sort of a struggle I was having and having some serious questions. I was beyond questioning. I was pretty convinced in my mind that I was correct and that this was true, and that was a problem.
And how do you feel now? And so they threw you out of the church. What did you do once they threw you out?
Well, we moved back here to Tennessee, back to our home, my wife's hometown area, and we I took another job in sales, and which didn't last very long. Soon, my addiction resurfaced again, and my wife filed for divorce and kicked me out of the house.
Wow.
And I found myself homeless and jobless and pretty much faithless.
Why are you so addicted to sex?
Why?
Uh-huh.
Why does anyone get addicted to anything? It was my thing.
But why though?
It just took a hold of me. It took a hold of me at a many years ago and kept a hold of me for many, many years. I never let it go. I loved it more than I loved God is what the bottom line was.
Are you over it now?
Yes.
And you yet don't know why you were so addicted to it?
Well, because it's sinful and because it's the desire of the flesh. It's something that why does anyone say
don't you think you need to know why you were addicted to it so you can overcome it? Otherwise, you're going to get back into it.
No. I was addicted to it because I was a sinner. I mean, that's
I know,
why.
But why was your sin sex, though? You shouldn't know why so that you don't get back into it. Otherwise, you're going to end up back into it again.
Well, I have far more faith in the power of God to deliver and free me from my
sin. But you had that before. So you started another church? How did you get into another church?
No, I didn't start another church. As a Methodist pastor, we get appointed in the churches. So after a few years and myself going away to a place called Pure Life Ministries where I got cleaned up and recommitted my life back to Jesus and was set free from my addiction and was living a life of purity and walking with God, after about a year and a half of that, I contacted my denomination and they had to, there was a process to go through of accountability and mentorship and different people approving me and my ministry. And then they've appointed me to a church. So to get back to your earlier question, maybe you can help me with something or teach me something here because I struggle to find places in scripture where folks, have been healed from something or delivered from something where they then went back and were trying to find why they were addicted to this or that. Do you have any examples in scripture which are of people who look back and try to trace why they were addicted to this or that, apart from just simply saying, because I'm a sinner and born in sin?
It is due to sin. You're right about that. Sin is pride, and pride is judgment. And somewhere in your life, you were judging or resenting somebody. Most of the time, not all the time, it starts with the parents first. And most of the time, it starts with the mother, especially for boys and girls. They tend to resent their mothers for the way that their mothers raised them, either too willful or too weak, and imposing her will on them. And once you resent that as a child, it causes you're judging it. You don't realize you're judging when you're young, and it causes you to become, it separates you from God, and it causes you to become attracted to what you hate. And so most boys and girls too, but boys resent their mothers and they become sexually attracted to that they hate, and they're not going to have sex with mama. So they go out and find ladies or women who are just like their mothers, the same spirit, and they have sex with them as a form of escaping or trying to deal with that resentment. And it just only make them more addicted or subject to that spirit. And they just go from woman to woman trying to find something that they have lost, not realizing that it's the resentment of their mothers that they have, and you'll end up marrying your mother because you're not going to get away from that spirit of her until you can face her and forgive her for what she did to you. She couldn't help herself. She resented her mother as well and has never forgiven her mother, and it just goes on from generation to generation. And so that resentment is what awakened the judgment, which is resentment. It awakened your sexual appetite. And most of the time, it's come from that.
The first part, I agree completely that pride is the root of all sin, and that is our part of our sinful nature, and we have to always fight against the root of pride and pride growing up in our lives. But I didn't hear you cite any scripture or anything which gives any validation though to the other part of.
The Bible talks about pride, and
pride, yes.
And so it's the pride of man, but it's that resentment that brings on the pride that causes you to sin. Well, actually, the sin is not the sex act itself. The sin is the judgment that you have in your heart. You're judging yourself and others, and you're playing God, so you're left alone to be your own God. So it's not the sex. The sex is just a result of the pride that's in your heart.
Well, and that, like I said, the reason I went with what I went with is simply because I'm a sinner and love myself more than I love God.
I guarantee you, if you were to examine truly, truly, to be honest with yourself, you would see that you resent your mother, and the woman that you married to is just like mama, and now you're subject to her. I guarantee you, with all that is within me, but you have to be bold enough to face that and be honest about it so that you can overcome it, because...
Well, I appreciate that suggestion, but I categorically disagree with you. That may be the case with some, but it's not with me.
Did you resent your father?
No, I didn't. Like I said, I had a great relationship, and I still have a wonderful relationship with both my mom and dad.
Was it difficult being raised by a preacher?
No, I loved it.
You love being a preacher's son.
I did, yeah.
While you were growing up, you had no issues with it at all. One iota, you had no issues with it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I you have to know, but I do recommend that you look to see why you became that way, because if you don't, because you sound like a nice guy, if you don't know why you became that way, you're going to end up doing it again. And nothing is going to be able to stop you until you can understand why, so you can repent from that spirit. Then you can be free from it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Let me take, because just think about the number of times you said you were not going to do it anymore, and yet you end up doing it. You didn't want to do it, but that spirit that's inside of you made you do it. It caused you to do something that you didn't want to do. And because you have not discovered why that is, then you know Bible verses, but you don't have wisdom as to why that is. That spirit still dwells in you, and it will take control again. And you may be like physically protected right now, but that's not going to last.
Well, I appreciate that vote of confidence.
You call your issue with sex an addiction. But really, it's a spiritual problem that you're having. It's not an addiction. The scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities and wickedness in high places. So you have a spiritual or had a spiritual problem. The world, the secular people call it an addiction because they are blind to the spirit, at this spiritual aspect of life. And so do what you want, of course, but you need to realize it's a spiritual issue and not an addiction.
Well, if you had read my blog, you'd see that is the case. And that's
okay.
I totally agree with you. If it's an addiction to anything, it's an addiction to sin and to self. But my question, though, is that, you know, Paul then does not proceed to pick apart his past and try to figure out why he is. he simply confesses and repents, who will deliver me from this body of death? I'm simply saying that I was in sin. I loved my sin more than God. And discovering and attempts to find out why that is really an attempt to feed my pride, to tell myself that, see, I'm not really that. This is why I'm like that. The reason I'm like that is because, as the Bible says, I'm a sinner. And that's the bottom line.
Well, Paul did say that he realized that sin had made a home in him.
Yeah.
So he did figure out, he looked at why he was that way. What do you do when the Bible says that the man is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of man, Pastor?
We've already discussed that. I've told you. I agree with that.
But you're scared to be
it, I'm not disputing that with you. I'm saying that to be the head of my wife means that I serve her and would lay my life down
that's
for her.
That's not what it means.
Laid down.
It doesn't mean that.
Well, then I disagree with you.
It doesn't mean you serve your wife.
So you don't serve your wife?
I wouldn't serve my wife.
You don't?
Why would you serve her? That's ridiculous.
Wow.
Let's talk. Let's go
I'm
out.
Sorry,
to,
we have completely different.
Let's
ideas
go out to
Monday.
I would love my wife. I would love my wife the way Christ loved me, but I wouldn't serve her. That's a cowardly way out.
I think that's
And that doesn't work anyway. Your wife, women hate weak men like that.
My wife loves me. We have a wonderful, fantastic marriage.
Yeah.
And,
let's go to Montgomery, Alabama, and talk to T. T, you're on with Pastor Holtz.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, T. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're judging, Jesse. You're judging.
You're judging me.
No, you're judging.
You're judging me.
You know, you're judging.
Aren't you judging me?
You know, you're doing this for instance.
Are you judging me, T?
So what?
Are you judging me?
No, I'm just telling the truth.
Oh, but I'm judging when I tell the truth, right?
I'm just telling the truth.
So how is it that you're telling the truth and not judging? But I'm telling the truth and I'm judging.
You're judging.
All right.
I mean, you can't.
How am I judging? What if I said that implied that I'm judging?
Every word come out of the gentleman's mouth, you won't take it as face value. You gotta, you do this forensic interview. You know, you got to get deep. If the first question you said, "Are you head of that man?" If you would just came out and said yes, you wouldn't left that. You know, that wasn't good enough for you. Even though you said it would have been.
He said, "What? What are you?" I don't know what you're saying, T.
Your first question to him was.
Was he called by God, or did he have to go to school?
No. When you asked him about being head of his wife.
Hold on, T. Back in a moment. Pastor, give out your website again. Before we're running out of time here.
It's desiremercy.wordpress.com.
Pastor Holt, do you support same-sex marriage?
No, I don't.
Okay. And how about abortion?
No, I don't. Jesse, I'm troubled by the fact that I feel as though rather than I feel as though you would be someone who would almost celebrate if I were to fall back into my addiction rather than being someone who wants to encourage and say, you know, thank God for the work he's done in your life. And I've been walking in freedom and in truth for the last 2.5 years, free from an addiction that nearly ruined my wife, my family, my marriage, my kids, my church, my everything about 3 years ago. And I am walking in joy and the peace of the Lord and free from lustful thoughts and inclinations, completely free. And my marriage is restored, and it is.
Well, I'm glad to hear. No. I don't.
But
the reason
when I told you earlier that my marriage was wonderful and happy, you said sure, as though that's crazy.
I'm glad you are bringing this point up because I don't want you to fall back into it. I want you to be free from it. That's why I ask. Did you know?
By the grace of God, I am.
Okay, and I'm glad to hear that. But so that's why I ask. do you know why you got into it? Because once we can get the understanding of why we sin and what sin is, then we're able to see clearer so that we can overcome it. So, no,
well,
I want,
I
want your marriage to last, and I want you to be free from it. And I know seeing what's wrong and forgiving is repentance. Then we can be free from sin. So I want that for you.
Well, if anyone was listening to this radio show for the last hour, I don't think they got that impression from you.
Well, I'm clearing it up now. You sound like I said, you sound like a nice guy, and I can tell that you're well-meaning. So I want you to be free. And if you the sin, what causes us as human beings to sin is that we are prideful people, and the pride come from judging. And so if you could realize how did you fall into judgment, if you could see that, then you would repent from that. Then you have control over sin. You would never have to worry about falling into it again.
Hmm.
That makes sense?
I disagree with you, but that's fine.
But no, I don't want, I'm happy that you're free. I want you to stay free. And that's why I asked, why did you get into that? What caused you to fall into it like that? Pastor, thank you so much for being on. I enjoyed talking to you. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Jesse Lee Peterson. I am founder and president of a nonprofit organization called BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And we've been around for 16 years now. Our purpose is to rebuild the family by rebuilding the man. We work with all people, but our primary focus is on the black male. For the last 50 years or so, not all. But the average black male has been dumbed down, brainwashed, and demoralized by people that he trusts the most. The NAACP, the Congressional Black Caucus, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, you name it. And most of the black preachers who have not been called by God, but by their mama. They have deliberately used black Americans in order to gain power and wealth. There's this idea out there that black folks are suffering because of racism. It's not true. Racism has little or nothing to do with it at all. And so we're dealing with these issues at BOND. We have an after-school character building program where we work with young men from that are still in high school, 13 to about 18 years of age. And we show these young men how to overcome anger, how to deal with issues of life rather than reacting to it, but to overcome it. We have a home for young men that we bring in from the streets, and some of them from juvenile detention centers. Others are referred to us. And we bring these guys in. We show them how to overcome anger, help find jobs, start businesses. If they haven't finished school, we help them finish high school and go on to colleges around the country if they want to. But the primary issue is that they should take control of their own lives. It is abnormal to have someone else make your decisions, run your life for you. And so we're teaching these young men how to do that. We work with people across the country. We are a national nonprofit organization. The issues in life are spiritual. They're not physical. It's a spiritual problem. You know, we have 70% of black babies born out of wedlock today. During the good old days, you know, I grew up in Alabama on a plantation, at a time when laws were against black folks. And I remember for colors only signs, for whites only. But yet, black people had it. Black people were better as a people than they are today. And that is because they had control of their own lives. The government wasn't the daddy of the family. And no so-called black leaders were the head of the people. They fought for themselves. They handled their own issues. And they dealt with life. So we're trying to return black Americans back to that, taking control of their own lives. 70% of black babies born out of wedlock. A report came out recently that says that of all the new HIV cases in America, 51% of them are found within the black community. You have 85% of black Americans says that they go to church, that they believe in God. They lift up holy hands and praise the Lord and read the Bible. But when you look at their lifestyles, there is no evidence that they really believe in God. They're still mean and angry and nasty. They'll curse you out before they can get outside of the church building. And so the issues in the black community is not physical. It's a lack of moral values. Not all. But most black people suffer not because of racism, but the lack of moral character. And things are not going to get better until blacks began to examine themselves, be honest about what is wrong, and then a change should come. You cannot afford to have any excuses. You can't blame anyone. Now, when we're younger, you know, of course, we depend on our parents to guide us. But once you become of age, then you're responsible for your own life. And we're teaching these guys to do it. You know, we have excellent stories over the years to share with you. And as time moves forward, you're going to meet some of the young men and women that we have worked with in the past and are working with now, who are now in control of their own lives. You know, I say that you should not have black leaders. It is abnormal for a man to look for someone else to lead him. He should not be looking to the NAACP or Jesse Jackson or these phony black preachers, because everything that he needs is within himself. And, you know, we're teaching him how to look for that and find that and overcome that for himself. An example, Jesse Jackson cheated on his wife, made a baby in that relationship. He took his then girlfriend to the White House under the pretense of counseling Bill Clinton, who had cheated on his wife. I believe they gave each other the high five, you know, like, right on, brother, I did it too. And yet Jackson can walk into the average black church and get a standing ovation rather than repudiating him. That's not a good example for young black boys who don't have fathers and mothers in their homes to say, this man is wrong. You should not have this man for your example, as an example. You should not follow this guy. He's a liar. He's of his father, the devil. But because the preachers are validating him and giving approval to wrongdoing, it sends out an impression or the message that you can be a Christian and still sin and still do all this crap and get away with it. We have to change that. We have to turn away from people who are evil, such as Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan said that Louis Farrakhan believes that the white man was created in a laboratory by a black man who was good and turned evil. And as a result of turning evil, he went into a laboratory and created the blue-eyed devil. Louis Farrakhan also believes that he went up in a spaceship and he met with a dead man, Elijah Muhammad, out in space there somewhere, and they had a conversation. And Louis Farrakhan also believed that the levees in New Orleans were blown up by white people in order to destroy the black man or black people. Black people believe that. How is that? How can you believe a man who says he went up in a spaceship and had a conversation with a dead man? Not all blacks, but most blacks believe that. And we're going to examine why and how is it that you could believe a lie such as that. There is an explanation for that, and also there is a way to overcome it. There is a spiritual order to life, and that order is God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, and woman over children. And when you live by that order, you have a better chance for life. But you have a better chance to have a good life. In the black community, the order is broken. The government is the daddy of the family. The so-called black leaders, corrupt black leaders, are the head of the people, and the man is not around. The woman is the head of the home, and as a result of that, you have nothing but destruction, because it's out of order for the woman to be the head of the home. One example, you know, a lot of black boys are joining gangs. They're making babies out of wedlock. They're dropping out of high school. And the people are blaming the fathers for that instead of the mothers. Yes, fathers are responsible because they should be there to protect their children from the mothers. But the anger that you see inside of these black boys who are joining gangs and making babies out of wedlock is being passed down from the mother. The anger of a man is that of a woman. It is abnormal for men to be angry like that. It's the nature of the mother. And I can hear you screaming now, don't blame the woman. The black woman is a queen. She is wonderful. The black woman is not a queen. She is evil. Not all, but evil. And the reason she's evil because of the anger that she has within herself toward her father, most of the time her mother, and then the men that that she's dealt with in her life. She has anger for that, and that anger is being passed down to the children. Not all. Now, I'm saying not all, but I guarantee you someone's going to call me or email me and say, well, you said all. Not all black women are like this, but most. Excuse me. That anger that you see within the children is being passed down to the mother. I mean, from the mothers to the children, not from the fathers. And until we are honest about that, things are never going to get better. When you're angry at your mothers or anybody, you take on the identity of the person that you're angry at. You become like what you hate. And then a lot of these guys are mad at mama. They're mad at grandmama. And then they grow up and they start dating women who are just like mama. And so they couldn't take the hell out on mama because, you know, she'll slap them down. I don't know about the white community, but in the black community, you're not allowed to speak up to your mothers and grandmothers. If you disagree, you're told, boy, be quiet. You know, I'm the mother. You have no right to speak up. So they slap you or yell at you and take your courage away from you, causing you to become angry. But these boys and girls, but especially boys, are becoming just like their mothers. That anger that they have is the nature of the woman because you become like what you hate. And you become subject to what you hate. Whomever control you, whomever can cause you to become angry, can also control you. I want to give you a quick example of that. I'm sure some of you out there have been married or at least dated at some point. You notice that whenever your wife or your girlfriend want you to do something for her, what she does is she plays on your emotion first. She tells you how wonderful you are. Oh, you're so handsome. I love you. You know, my mother told me to marry you. You're a good man. And then as soon as you puff up from that ego building, because it's not true, it's a lie, but the ego love lies. As soon as you puff up from that ego, feeling good about yourself, she said, oh, honey, can you let me have $100? And if you say no to that, you know, she couldn't get you by stroking your ego. Then she say to you, you know what, you're no good. My mother told me not to marry you. You're not handsome anyway. And then you become angry. And the moment you become angry, you feel guilty. And in that guilt, you have to please her so you give her the money so you can feel better. That's how you're being controlled. Black people are being controlled by their emotions. They're catering to their ego. If you notice, anytime Al Sharpton or the NAACP or Jesse Jackson, all these black preachers want to take your money, they cry racism. The white man want to take you out. This is a racial incident. And black people go into a hypnotic trance, and you can get them to do whatever you want. White people head for the hills. But in that trance, because of that anger, they can collect all your money. They can cause you to go to Washington, D.C., and pay your own way and march behind Louis Farrakhan, anybody else, because of the anger. That's why at Bond, we are working on overcoming the anger. And we're going to deal with some of the solution in this program before, you know, right after the break today. We're going to deal with how to overcome the anger. Because if blacks don't overcome their anger, they're going to get worse instead of getting better. And this anger is passed down from generation to generation to generation. And the man would never be able to become a man. He would just become a woman. All he will ever be in life is a woman, dependent on the woman, dependent on the government, looking to their leaders to guide them, not being able to deal with the woman in the life. I mean, and then passing this on to the children. You got to overcome the anger. Unless you forgive, you're never going to be free. And we're going to deal with that kind of anger. You can read the Bible until the cows come home. You can lift up holy hands. You can, quote unquote, speak in other tongues. But until you drop that anger, you're never going to get better in life. You will always be emotional. You have doubt. You have fear. We're going to talk about that right after this break. Back in a moment.
Jesse Peterson is the founder of BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. For information, write P.O. Box 35090, Los Angeles, California 90035, or call 1-800-411-BOND.
Welcome back. My name is Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tell other people about the program. This show is set up to help you overcome yourself. I want to see black Americans in control of their own lives, judging people based on character and not color. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that one day we would be judged by the contest of character and not color. Well, today, because of the so-called civil rights leaders taking the good and perverting the message to evil, blacks are being judged by their color and not their character because most of them lack character. We were talking about anger. I want to tell you how to overcome anger. First, you have to admit that you have it. Then you have to examine, how did I become angry? Where did this come from? Because you're not born with that anger. So how did I become this way? Then you have to look at your relationship with your parents. You know, did your parents prevent you from speaking up? Did you have a mother who was controlling and dominating, never validated you when you were right about something? Did they make you doubt yourself? What happened when you tried to tell your, especially mothers, but not only mothers, but especially mothers, what happened when you tried to tell her the truth about herself? Did she say, you know what, son, you're right, or daughter, you're right about that? Or did she make you doubt yourself? 99.99% of the time, anger starts in the home first, you know, with impatient parents. And most of the time, especially in the black community, with impatient mothers or grandmothers, the worst thing that can happen to a child, both male and female, black or white, is to have is not to have your fathers in the home guiding you and protecting you, being that example. Because the fathers represent God in the home. He is not God, but he represents him. Patient, love, understanding. He guides you in the right way to go. He's a good example. And mothers and children tend to look up to the fathers. But when you don't have that, you're looking up to hell, for the lack of a better word. Because not all, but most mothers are angry. So you have to look at your relationship with your parents, and especially the mother, and admit that you resent her. Resent her. And it's wrong to resent, but unless you admit it and overcome it, you're never going to go free. And once you see that you have this resentment toward your mother or grandmother or father or whomever, you need to go to them. Go to them and tell them why you resent them. What they did to you that caused you to resent them. Now, most mothers are doing the best that they can do. It's hard for women to raise children, period, because it's in the nature of the father, not in the nature of the woman.
the woman is like the vice president in the home. The father's the president, right? But if the president is off screwing everybody else and their mama, then the woman has to take over the role, but it still doesn't work, right? So you have to go to your mother or grandmother and say why you resent her. I resented you because you didn't allow me to speak up. Or I resented you because you yelled at me and made me feel less than a person. Or whatever it is. And when you realize that they couldn't help themselves, you know, most mothers can't help themselves. They've done the best that they can do. And the stuff that they did wrong to you, I mean, they couldn't help it. But I want to go back a little bit. The only way you're going to understand that your mothers and grandmothers and fathers couldn't help themselves, though, you have to understand yourself. You have to know thyself first. Most people do not know themselves. They know about everybody else but themselves. And the greatest, the most powerful thing that one can do for themselves is to know themselves. And when you can understand yourself by looking within, you can understand the world around you. Then you can go to your parents and apologize for resenting them. Do not ask them to forgive you. You apologize for resenting them. They don't have to say that they're sorry. They do not have to apologize. If they do, that's good for them. But if when you forgive them, God will forgive you, and then he will change your nature. He will give you your father's nature, which should have been of God. Most fathers have mother's nature, so he's not going to give you that one back. But he's going to give you God's nature, which is peace, forgiveness, freedom, the ability to see your purpose in life. You're going to overcome doubt, and you're going to walk by faith. You will have no doubt about anything in your life. So when you go to your parents or whomever it is that you resent, you have to forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, they don't know. They don't understand. They are lost in their own anger. They are blinded, separated from truth in their own anger. But when you forgive them, God will forgive you, and you can finally go free. But you got to understand yourself first. Know thyself. And then if you go to your parents or whomever it is that you resent, and they yell at you, you know, a lot of mothers say, well, don't blame me. I'm not your problem. I did the best I can do. They're in denial. Forgive them. And I promise you, your whole life will start to change. You can finally become the person that you've always wanted to be. But you got to know yourself. Know thyself. All right? And again, if they don't say that they're sorry, forgive them. If they fall out and die, just kind of, you know, look at them on the floor and dead and wonder if they have medical or life insurance or something so you can bury them and bury them as cheaply as possible and take the money and go live. You can't make another person repent, but you can repent and go free. And until black men start to do this, let go of your anger by forgiving your parents and yourself. And as you forgive, God will forgive you. Then you will be able to date women in the right way, get married, and after getting married, start your family. Things will start to work for you. But you got to get rid of this hatred, this anger. You got to stop hating the white man. White folks are not waking up every morning at the breakfast table trying to figure out how to hold the Negroes down. They have their own issues to deal with. You know, they're trying to deal with their families, high taxes and whatever it is. They're not thinking about black folks, but because blacks are angry and they resent their parents first, themselves, and the white man, they think the world is against them. And that's what anger does. It tends to make you believe that somebody else is your problem when it's really you. But once you overcome anger by forgiving, and again, the other person don't have to forgive. And it's going to be hard dealing with your parents, especially black parents, and especially black women. The hardest thing in the world for the black man to deal with is the black woman. I mean, they would rather deal with the devil than to deal with the black woman because she's so angry and she's been stroked to make it feel like she's the one that's right, everybody is wrong. But you got to learn to deal with them. And you can't do it unless you learn to deal with your parents first, and especially your mothers. You got to deal with mom. And if they yell and scream, let them scream. But tell the truth and forgive, and you shall go free. We're dealing with these issues at Bond. And I'd like to invite you to go to my website at bondinfo.org. We got to put it up for you, www.bondinfo.org. And or call us at 1-800-411 1-800-411-2663. 1-800-411-2663. We're going to be interviewing some of the black preachers around the city and around the country. And you're going to see how dumb they are. And you're going to see that most of them are not called by God, but by their mama. You know, their mother told them when they were a little boy, boy, one day you're going to be a preacher. And so they grow up and become preachers, and we've been made to respect them simply because they wear the title reverend, even though we know they're not from God and they're corrupt. Most preachers have no insight at all. All they do is study the Bible. They get you to come to church by making you feel guilty if you don't. And then they sing and shout and quote scriptures, get you feeling good, and collect your money. That's all they do. You go to church with your problems, and you leave with your problems, day in and day out. I've had black people to tell me, oh, well, I have to go to church because if I don't go to church on Sunday, my whole week is messed up. And so what they're saying is, I go to church, I feel good, and I feel good for a week, and by the end of the week, I need to go and get rejuvenated. Their emotions need to be, you know, dealt with, feel good kind of emotion. That's not what God ever intended for you to have. He wants you to overcome emotions and operate from logic. But you can't overcome emotions until you overcome anger, because emotions separate you from God, or anger separate you from God, and awaken your emotions and then drive you crazy. And the world controls you by that. And so we're going to expose these preachers for you. We're going to interview them. If they're most of them are cowards and they're afraid to come on. But there are a few that would kind of, you know, test me to see if I'm right here. But we will show you. The black man has to come back to his proper state of being. You know, loving God more than anything. And when I say loving God, loving truth, love what's right. I love what's right more than anything else in the world. More than I do my kids, more than I do myself. I love what's right because the truth set me free. And so the black man have to turn back to that truth, and white men and every other man too, and love what's right more than anything else. And you're protected from the world. You can deal with anything. You can overcome anything when you love the truth. You have to love the truth about yourself. You have to face the fact you're no good, you know, in order to become good. You know, so that's how you do it. It's simple, but you have to get to know yourself. Know thyself. And then you won't need the church. You won't need the phony preachers. And if you should go to church, you'll go for the right reasons. You'll go to share and fellowship and learn from one another. Give and take kind of a deal, right? Not just for some fat preacher to stand up there and preach at you and never allowing you to ask him any questions, never allowing you to deal with him because he doesn't want you to know that he doesn't know. I mentioned earlier that 85% of black people say they go to church, right? Yet the abortion is out of control. Since the early 70s, over 14 million black babies have been aborted inside the black woman's womb. You can't be a child of God and that's happening in your community. You know, every day, 1,540 babies are aborted inside the black woman's womb. You can't love good and commit evil. They don't go together. And this idea that you could be born again of God and still sin and do all this crap is a lie, and it's coming straight out of hell, and it's coming from preachers who are sinning. That's why they're doing it. That's why they're lying to you, because even though they know the Bible, they quote scripture, they still of their father, the devil. So that's why they give you a bunch of excuses. You either love good or you love evil. You're either of good or you're of evil. You can't ride two horses at one time, and you can't serve good and evil. You can't cheat on your wife today, get up and brush yourself off and think that you're of God. But that's what's being taught in the black community. Blind leaders are the blind. I appreciate you tuning in. Tell people about the show. Check us out. Look at our website. Thank you, and God bless you.
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, y'all. It's Tuesday, which means it is Country Western Tuesday. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E. And my biblical question is a doozy. My biblical question for this week: why do you want the approval of anyone else? Why do you want the approval of anyone else? Amazing question. It's a deep question. And again, it's for those who want to overcome their misery, their hell on earth, which you can overcome if you really, really want to. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. And if you're running around doing whatever it is that you're doing, and you just don't have time to sit and watch the show, and normally you would podcast, you can do that. But you can also be listening to the show by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. I should know that number by now. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JOP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JOP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. So, it is Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me. What dog? Who let the dogs out?
Woof.
Amazing. 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 Country and Western Tuesday. I love Country and Western Tuesday. So yesterday, before I get into our discussion here, I had to take a flight up to Las Vegas. I was the guest on the Hodge Twins show yesterday, and it was amazing. So after my show, Nick and I ran up there, and it was fun. It was amazing, and hopefully they'll air it soon. But it was very, very interesting. But the point I want to make, besides just going there, I took Delta Airlines. And Delta Airlines, thank God, oh Lord, they had two white elderly male pilots. So, of course, I looked right in the cockpit right away to see who was flying the plane. And I looked and I saw two elderly white experienced pilots. And then in the jump seat, they had another younger white guy in the jump seat. So there were three in there. I guess he was white, that other one, the third one. But I believe I saw DEI everywhere else. The flight attendants, the stewardesses were males. Well, on the flight going up there, they were female, but they were of color. Japanese, I think, looked like an Asian kind of woman, and a black woman, the stewardess. And then coming back, it was men stewardesses of color, DEI everywhere. And then, you know how when they close the doors and they tell you to pay attention to the this film, they're going to tell you you got to buckle up and you got to, you have this and that. They give you the instructions what to do, fasten your seatbelt. I believe it was DEI. That was DEI because they had the people who were presenting the video, in the video, about thanks for coming on the Delta Airline. We're glad you're here. Buckle up, whatever. They had a DEI black guy and a DEI black woman making the presentation on the DEI film. DEI everywhere. And I would think it's so unfortunate that in America, but it's hell on earth, so I do understand it, but it's so unfortunate that these human beings are willing to discriminate against the most qualified person and take on the most non-qualified person to make somebody feel good. It was just so unfortunate. I mean, it is so unfortunate. But that's what we have come to in America today. And I know that the Great White Hope is working overtime to try to change that. I don't know how much of change you would make concerning the DEI thing because the companies can sneak around and do it because they have everything in the right places to do it. They've been able to do that for the last 4 years or so, maybe longer. And so they know how to do it, the DEI thing. So I know a lot of some companies are announcing that they're not going to do the DEI, but yesterday they had DEI, I believe. It was just DEI. And it's unfortunate, but this is hell on earth. Human beings are evil, and this is what human beings do to one another. It's not about love. It's about what? It's about money and power and whatever. It's not about what you can do for the country. It's what the country can do for you. We played you a video yesterday of a... Did you say it was DEI, Nick? Did that cross your mind?
Fat old guy. You said male stewardess.
What?
That's hilarious. You said male stewardess.
There were male stewardess. Wasn't there male stewardess?
Or am I thinking... I'm hopefully not thinking about the word wrong, but stewardess, I thought it was feminine, so.
Oh.
Stewardess.
What is it then?
Stewardess means woman, Haig says. So, yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, flight attendant. I forgot.
Right.
Yeah, flight attendant.
Look, I just looked at you and said, we're looking in the cockpit, right?
Yeah.
And then we did. And I saw the white men, the old white men.
Yeah.
And I just sat back.
I was like, oh, Lord. But did you think DEI?
Yeah, the when you pointed out the movie, especially the little flight safety movie, it was like let's have every identity except the white men flying the plane we were in.
What a mess! So this is hell on earth. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And what you see happening outside of you, inside of others, is what's happening in you until you pay attention to overcome it. This is what we have now. In the United States of America, a Christian nation. This is what we have. But this is hell on earth. Don't worry about going to hell. If you have not overcome your anger, your hatred, your revenge, you're already in hell. You're in hell. So don't be afraid to go to hell because you're already in hell. But you can come out of hell while you still live. If you want to come out. Because it is hell on earth. So thanks to the Hodge twins for having us up there. It was fun. It was good meeting them in person. And it was amazing. The hospitality was more than amazing. Amazing. So I've been saying for a long time, that you should take your children out of the public school system, and that parents who send their children to the public school today do not love their children. They hate their children. And then when they send them to the schools knowing that the kids are not being educated, they blame it on the teachers. They blame it on everyone but themselves. How can you blame the school that they're not educating your children when you know that they're not educating them, but you don't love them enough to stay home? The mother, the female, doesn't love the children enough to stay home and watch over them and teach them and guide them because their ego want to be out working and thinking that they're being rewarded for that and let the kids suffer. So you really can't blame. You can't blame the school because if you didn't send the children to the school would either have to change or go out of business. But you send them anyway. And so they don't have a reason to change. According to the, and then there are some parents say, oh, I can't teach them. Yes, you can. If you can't do it, there are other homeschool programs in the neighborhood or around you somewhere that you can send your children if you don't feel like being bothered with them. There's a way out. There's always a way out. You're not stuck in any area of life unless you want to be stuck. You're a victim and you want to be stuck in that area. You're not stuck in life. You can overcome anything if you work on you. You got to work on you. There is according to WTNH News 8, this report is from them. A Hartford public school graduate is taking legal action against the city, the Board of Education, and one of her special educational teachers, Alicia Ortez, claims she asked for educational resources and support for years, but that help never came. Watch this from WTNH News 8.
My name is Alicia Ortiz, A-L-E-Y-S-H-A-O-R-T.
Struggling to spell her own name, 19-year-old Alicia Ortiz tells us the school district she entrusted with her education failed her, graduating last year unable to read or write.
My time in Hartford Public School was a time that I don't wish upon anyone.
Ortiz moved from Puerto Rico to Connecticut, becoming a Hartford Public School student in the first grade. She struggled with a speech impediment, dyslexia, ADHD, and initially a language barrier.
Every first day of school, I would tell the teacher, hey, I cannot read and write, so please be patient with me, so everyone knew.
For years, she asked for educational resources and support, but instead, she says she was bullied, harassed, and neglected by district employees.
I cried knowing that the people who has big titles know that this is happening, and no one has stepped up to do something about it.
Amazing. Is she illegal? What the? Send her back to Puerto Rico. But anyway, here is more, and I want to know what? And I want to know, do you blame the school or the parents? If she has all these physical ailments too that they call rambling off there, didn't the parents know she had these issues? And if the parents knew it, why would they send this girl to the school? And why would they not get involved with the school to make sure they're getting taught if they got to send them to the school? Here's more on the lawsuit from Ortiz. Watch this.
Ortiz has now filed a lawsuit against the city, Board of Education, and one of her special education teachers, claiming her learning disabilities were not properly addressed by the board, and as a result, she continued to struggle academically. This specific complaint names Tilda Santiago, a special education case manager and teacher, who would allegedly yell at, belittle, ridicule, and humiliate Ortiz, adding Ortiz would frequently run to other teachers and or administrators in tears and emotional distress. We reached out to Santiago for a comment. She directed our request to the Board of Education staff attorney. We're waiting to hear back.
Amazing. This is hell on earth. Amazing. How come so many children have all these learning disabilities today as opposed to years ago when boys were boys and men were men, and the men were running the schools for the most part? Where's all these learning inabilities come from all of a sudden? I'm just wondering out loud. This girl was, she was accepted into UConn. What's UConn? What? That's the name of the school? University of Connecticut. And want to focus on special education policy. How's she going to focus on special education policy if she got a special ed person? What the? Watch this.
Ortiz used talk-to-text and other technology to get her grades up, walking the stage at graduation, a moment filled with mixed emotions.
It's the treatment that she had to go through at the hands of several of the people who were the adults in the room who were supposed to be helping her.
We reached out to the city and Board of Education, who tell News 8 they can't comment on ongoing litigation. The superintendent's office also declined to comment. Ortiz wants to see change happen so that no other student will have to experience what she did.
Education is so important, and I believe we have forgotten the meaning of it.
Again, we did reach out to the school district for a comment. As for that lawsuit, they're seeking an undisclosed amount in damages. Many have rallied around Ortiz, getting her the support that she needs. She was accepted into UConn and wants to focus on special education policy and advocacy. Eva Zamaris, News 8.
Amazing. It's interesting in that in all of this reporting on this situation, the parents were not mentioned. They were not mentioned. There were nothing on, well, let's ask the parents, why didn't they take her out of the school all those years if they knew she was not being educated? They had to know if they paid any attention to her when she came home from school, right? Ask the parents, why did they check on the school and ask, why did you educate my daughter? But they didn't mention the parents. It's all on the school. Turn your life over to someone else. If ever we needed you, Lord, We need to know. I never imagined that one day in America, really growing up, it just never occurred to me. You didn't think that this was possible, that most Americans would accept the white people. But maybe they become a victim now because they've been so attacked and all that. But I never imagined in America, everybody and they mama, if you're black, and everybody, their mama would be a victim. Nobody have strength to endure. Where's the endurance that we used to have in America? Think about the white men who founded and created the greatest country in the world. They had to endure. And they had it way bad worse than what we have it today. Why not just send it back to Puerto Rico and let them educate her over there? That's her country. We don't owe her an education. Send all the illegals back to their country and let their country take care of them. Let them sue their own country. I'm just saying out loud. And then before I get to the cause, I don't know if you heard that the Senate rejected a bill to bar trans athletes from women and girls' sport. Now, you've heard me say that I'm okay with men playing in women's sports because women are okay with women playing in men's sports. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Right? If women can play in men's sport, then men should be able to play in women's sport. What's the difference? Really, what is the difference? If they're going to stop men from playing in women's sports, then they need to stop women from playing in men's sports across the board. And they have destroyed everything that men do. Boy Scouts, everything. And nobody said a word. The Washington Post has reported that the Senate on Monday blocked legislation that would have banned transgender girls and women from competing in female sports in elementary school throughout school through college. Washington from News Center, Maine.
In Washington tonight, Senate Democrats voted to block a bill that aims to prohibit transgender women from participating in women's sports. The bill, named the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, sought to determine Title IX protections based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. It needed 60 votes to pass, but failed along party lines, 51 to 45.
Amazing. The Democrats are something else. They don't care that they lost by a way big margin. They're going to still push their mess, because they believe that majority of the people want their mess, even though the majority of the people said no to it. But if they're going to pass a law to say men cannot play in women's sport, let it be across the board. 888-775-3773. Let me go to first-time caller Larry out of Massachusetts. Larry, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hey, Larry.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I'm calling a reference to that Ortiz girl.
Uh-huh.
One of the first statements you stated was you kind of stopped in the middle of what you're saying, because I guess they must have told you something on the headphones. But anyhow,
nobody told me anything on my headphone.
Okay, well, that's what you say. You said...
Don't assume.
I'm guessing how that was.
That's your assuming.
Okay, let's drop that one altogether. You're saying that you sent it back to Puerto Rico? She's an American citizen. Why should she have to go back to Puerto Rico?
How you know she's an American citizen?
She was born in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is American U.S. colony. Anyone born there is a citizen.
So what now?
She's an American citizen.
Oh, yeah, Puerto Rico. You're right about that.
Yeah. Well, you made a mistake and said they just sent it back to Puerto Rico. Why?
All right. You're right. Because you're right about that part. I forgot about that. But the thing is, so you're right about that, Larry. But the thing is, I don't want any illegals in my country, and I don't want to be paying for them and then hearing them complain that we're not talking about an illegal. You're right about that. But do you agree with me that we shouldn't be paying anything for illegals?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, there's not a problem.
Yeah.
But you're right
about the Puerto Rican thing. I forgot.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem, the girl's having a problem in school, and you're saying, where was her parents? Well, maybe her parents just don't want to be involved in the on the media, on internet, to talk about the situation. That's a private thing with the family, the mother. The lawyer is something altogether different.
So you're saying that this girl went all the way through to high school, and the parents didn't know that she wasn't being educated?
We don't know if they don't know or not. You're just
but are you saying that,
they
should not have, should the parents have known and gotten involved or not?
They might have known. I would think they did know. I think they might have got involved.
But then why would they keep their...
Because they are not talking about it doesn't mean they're not involved.
So why would they keep this gal in a public school if they know she's already dumb?
What do you mean she's dumb? Because she's having mental problems? Because she's having dyslexia?
They said you're calling her dumb?
Wait a minute. You're calling this girl dumb because she has dyslexia?
But that, doesn't that mean...
No. It doesn't mean she's dumb.
What does it mean?
It means that she's got a physical or mental problem. It means that she can't read because words are backwards. That's what that means. Don't call the girl dumb because she can't read words because... her eyesight sees them backwards. You're presuming she's dumb because she can't read words which are backwards.
But, Larry, let's say that she has that dyslexic thing you mentioned.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the parents have known and taken her out of the school if she was not learning?
We don't know either way if they did or didn't.
They didn't take her out. She graduated from that school.
Right. They might have brought it up, but school graduated her. It's not her fault. Maybe her parents did point to that fact that she was having those problems. We don't know. You're just presuming that they knew.
No, I'm saying that. I can't believe that the parents didn't know, but we don't know if the parents knew or not. But the parents had to know she can't learn nothing, right?
The parents probably brought it up to the school a number of times. But you're presuming that they didn't.
And so why do you think the parents didn't take them out?
Take her off for why? Where else are they going to put her?
Homeschooler.
Homeschooling?
Yeah.
A kid that has dyslexia, you're going to homeschool them?
Well, she's not learning anything in the public schools.
Well, she definitely won't learn anything at home either.
Oh, so this ought to be dumb in public. So Larry, let me ask you something. On Saturday, Trump signed an executive order designating English the official language of the United States. That's according to whitehouse.gov. What do you think about that? Right. Isn't that amazing?
I don't have any say on it one way or another. I don't know. I'm still working on that.
Do you personally think English should be the primary language in America?
I just tell you, I just finished saying I don't know one way or another. I'm still thinking about that.
Larry, let me take a quick break, all right? Don't hang up. Hold on. Sorry about that. Are we going to take a break or what? Okay, let me take a quick break. 888-775-3773. Back in a moment, folks.
You choose good or you choose evil. You choose good or you choose evil.
It's up to you.
You got to think for yourself. Think for yourself. And if you decide to go with evil, it's your fault. I want to show you what evil look like. They have nothing else to offer. I want to show you what evil look like from hell. Oh, they're from the gates of hell.
I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisements from Google or whomever, right? because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell. Welcome back. 888-775-3773. The Hake Report is coming up at 7. Wait a minute. I mean, at 7.
9.
What?
9, hopefully.
I mean, what?
9.
I can't hear you.
9.
Oh, 9. How's your beta back?
My back is alpha. My neck is bugging me. I exercised too hard. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're
I'm
right.
Too strong.
Evidently.
But anyway.
And so at 9 a.m., the Hake Report from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after that, Joel Friday TV. You black. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. And the Anchor Baby is back. He went out, had to go out of town yesterday to the Hodge Twins show. So he's back today at 12 noon Pacific time. All right. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, comment. We're on rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, cozy.tv/JLP, JLP Talk on X, and Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. All right. And the men's forum this Thursday, it is the first Thursday of the month. So the men's forum, get ready. The men are on fire as well as the ladies on the third Thursday night of the month. Let me go quickly back to Larry out of Michigan. Massachusetts. Larry, so you don't know if you're happy about English being the primary first language in this country?
Hello?
You don't know if you're... Larry? Oh, he hung up. What the? Yeah, let me know if Larry called back. 888-775-3773. Official language. Donald Trump is amazing. Making America great again. Tony is out of California. Tony, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse. How the heck are you?
All is well, Tony. Amazing.
Wonderful. It's amazing how you Republicans put this man in office, and all he's doing is destroying America.
In what way is he destroying it?
Well, for one thing, he's destroying the U.S. government by moving all these programs and the departments, and so he can become a dictator. That's all he's doing.
That's all he's doing. Give me an example, Tony, of destroying America.
Well, for one thing, he's firing all these federal employees.
How is that destroying America?
Because no one is watching what they're doing and govern what they're doing.
What do you mean?
Because he's just removing generals out of their offices and replacing them with people that it's like you. He replacing people like you. in the government.
And so, Tony.
I mean, huh?
So,
come on, Jeff,
Tony,
you know it's a joke.
So you are happy with the government just giving away bunches of money, programs, and all that kind of stuff?
I'd rather for them to help the American people.
No. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You are happy with the government just through these so-called programs just giving away our money. You're happy with that, huh?
I'd rather for them to give it away to people that's needed, that needs the money, than for him and Elon Musk to take it and rob America and put it in their pockets.
And so
that's all Trump's doing.
So
that's
you're
all
happy,
he's doing. And you know he's doing that.
Tony, you're happy with our government just giving our tax money, because I'm sure you've heard of the waste, what this president have discovered that the government is doing with money, giving it to other countries for all these crazy programs and things. And you're happy with that, right?
Okay, wait a minute. Let me say this, Justin.
You didn't answer that question first.
No,
you didn't answer that question first.
When Trump shows up at the races,
Tony,
he just threw away $10 million.
Tony, you didn't answer the question.
I did answer your question, Justin.
So you're happy with the government giving away our tax dollars all around the world and to these people in our country that...
No, I'm not around the world. I'm talking about the United States. I'm not talking about around the world. I'm talking about the United States.
Let's break it down. You're not happy with them giving it to people around the world, right?
No, I'm not.
But you're just happy with them giving it away to people in this country who are not earning it.
What do you mean not earning it? You got people like that's got mental illness. They can't work.
And whose fault is that?
You got... Ask God who fault is that for mental illness. Come on, now. Why are you asking a stupid question like that?
Whose fault is it that someone else is mentally ill?
Ask the person that's born with mental illness.
No,
you're
the one said it. And
what?
You mentioned
I said what?
That there are people that are mentally ill. Should we Should we have to pay for people who are mentally ill?
Yes.
And why?
They can't take care of themselves. That's why.
Where are their families?
Their family needs help, Jesse.
Where are their families?
Once again, family needs help.
And
you got people that's in the
Jordan,
U.S. service that needs help.
What?
That go to work every day that needs help.
Tony. And they have found out that a lot of these government employees are working from home, and they're not doing any work at all. You okay with that, too?
No, I'm not.
What should happen with them?
Bring them back to work. Bring them back to the office.
They have tried to. They told them to come.
Let me ask you this, Justin, because you're taking this to a left field. I'm trying to get to the point and to the meat of the problem.
Okay, I'll answer this, and then I'll let you ask me about that.
They told them to come back home. You're going to hang up.
They told them to come back home, come back to work. And they even asked them to give them five things, right, Jay? Five things? A work that they have done. They couldn't even present five things they did that week.
Why would you have to write it down when your work performance should show what you did for that week?
They're not showing it. That's why they have to write it down and send it to the manager.
No, that's Elon Musk's way of doing things.
Should they tell Trump
in the White House, Jesse? Did you vote for him?
Should they? No. Trump did.
Okay, thank you, Justin. Thank
Trump put
you.
It there,
didn't
so
vote
I'm
for
okay
him, so
with
else
it.
Vote for him.
I'm okay with it. Trump hired him, so I'm okay. Well, matter of fact, he's doing it voluntarily.
No, he ain't.
Yes,
he's getting $8 million a day.
No, he's not.
From subsidies from the government, bro.
No, he's not.
So don't tell the truth. Elon Musk has got government contracts. He's making $8 million a day off government welfare.
And where you
now
get
that? Go tell your people that.
Where'd you find that from? Where'd you get that from?
Research it, Justin.
No.
Research it.
No, man.
Come on.
Where'd
you
get that?
You don't want people to be smart. That's why y'all getting rid of the Department of Education.
Tony.
You don't want people to do research on y'all. Yes.
Where'd you get that from?
Justin, research it. All you got to do is research.
When did you research and find
government
it? You
contract
said Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and a pop-up that showed that he's making $8 million a day off government welfare. A day.
So where did you get that information from?
That's it. That's it. Research it, Jess.
Where did you?
Don't keep asking me where I got it from. If I got it, you can get it.
Where did you research and you found it?
Google Elon Musk government contract and see what you see.
Tony, how come you just throw out things that are not true?
Jesse, come on, don't do that, Jesse. Don't throw it. Don't try to flip it back on
you
me.
You have
research
I just
America,
asked,
Elon
I just,
Musk.
I just asked.
All y'all got to do is research it.
I just asked.
How much money he's making per
Tony,
day
Tony,
off government.
He's not getting paid, Tony.
Yeah, he is getting paid.
So
stop
tell
lying,
me
Jesse.
One last thing.
Stop lying.
Where'd you
get
always
lying,
Tony,
Jesse.
Where'd you get that from there?
I just told you, Jesse.
Where?
Google Elon Musk government contract.
Tony.
Don't say he ain't got no government contract.
Tony. We're not talking about Elon Musk. We're not talking about Elon Musk's private business.
Now you
want
to jump off the bandwagon, right?
Tony.
Yeah.
For working for Trump.
That's all they're doing, robbing America.
Tony, working for Trump, does Elon get paid?
Does he get? Jesse. Of course he get paid.
And where's
he donated $250 million to Trump campaign, so he can't be in the position
Tony,
that he in.
Where's your proof that Elon get paid for working for Trump?
Jesse, I just told you the man making $8 million a day.
See,
off
you said what he's
welfare.
Making. We're not talking about what he's making in his
business.
Well,
what you talking about then? What you talking about then?
Where's
I
Elon?
I didn't say he was getting a paycheck. I didn't say that.
You implied that.
No, I didn't. I said he's getting $8 million a day off government welfare. That's what I told you.
And what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that?
Yeah.
He got the control of most of the government contracts that he's won. Whatever he wants, he can get it from Trump.
What do you mean
Trump
by
gave
he
him
getting
the okay
paid?
On everything.
What do you mean by he getting paid off government welfare?
From the government contracts that he has with the government.
When did a government contract become welfare?
That's all it is. That's all it is.
When did
it's
it
a subsidy.
When did it
that's
become?
That's all it is. When, welfare.
Tony.
That's like what you're doing.
Tony,
the
when
same
did
thing
it become?
You're doing, Jesse,
when
just,
did it become?
It's
Tony,
welfare.
Tony, when did it become welfare to get a government contract?
When did it become welfare?
Yeah.
From the beginning of time.
Okay. So you're saying that anyone who has.
Look at Hollaberry, what they did. Look what Hollaberry did when Bush was in office.
You said Hollaberry?
They monopolized and took all the government contracts.
Tony, who is Hollaberry?
Come on, bro. You know who it is.
No, I don't. You mean that black female actress?
No, man. Come on, man. They see you trying to disrupt the truth. But the truth stands on its own, bro. Come on,
man. So are the government employees getting welfare?
No, they're working. They're getting an unemployment check now.
So
yeah, they're getting government. They're getting welfare off the government unemployment.
All right. Thank you, Tony. You're difficult to talk to. Oh, it's difficult to have a conversation like that. He's like not making any sense at all. 888-77 Jesse. Brandy out of Hawaii. Brandy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm calling you guys. I'm calling you. Sorry, I'm all of a sudden nervous. I'm calling about that girl that has dyslexia.
The one that, according to the report, is suing the school.
Yeah.
Okay, Alicia Ortez.
Yeah, I'm dyslexic, and I had
how
a
you
lot
know?
Of learning problems. Well, I get numbers backwards and. Letters backwards, and like I work Costco food court, and I catch myself all the time,
so
like getting numbers when I like give them the amount. I'll say it backwards sometimes, and I'll be like, "Oh no, the other way around."
Really?
So I catch
and
myself.
And so let's
yeah.
do a test. Which come first, one or two?
Well, one.
Which come second, two or three?
Two.
Well, you ain't got no problem.
Well, I'm paying attention, and yeah, I sometimes.
And so, which come first?
When I'm looking at it.
Which come first, C or D?
C.
So you ain't got no problem.
No, I've been working on myself my whole life, though, also.
So you're paying attention.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I mean, I fell sometimes, but I had a really hard childhood. But I was also raised by, I'm about to cry.
When she crying? What's she doing when she's crying?
She's usually lying, but my mom was really an evil woman. And I would come home and tell her I had problems and I couldn't understand. And she would just yell at me. Like, she was so impatient with me. She would, like, yell at me. So it's like the parents know and the teachers know the problems. The parents are lazy. At least mine was. She didn't care. And when I would come home with homework and ask her I needed help when she'd get home from work, and she would yell at me. And God damn it, Brandy, I just walked in the fucking door.
Hey.
Sorry, but.
Kids are listening. What the? No wonder your mama didn't like you.
That was what she would say to
me. You cursing like a sailor. But why are you crying about that now, and you were supposed to have forgiven your mother for that?
Because I guess maybe I'm still, like, working on overcoming it.
You can't work on overcoming it. When you forgive, you've overcome that, period.
Yeah, it's just the memory. I still have a hard time. I'm a way better reader, and I bought houses and owned my own business and could barely read.
So what are you complaining about then?
I've done really, really well.
So what are you complaining about then?
It's the school. I think that the schools are just not equipped to work with people like us.
But
they're not teaching where we get bored easy.
But
have to keep going. We have to find something you like.
Brandy, why are you calling yourself dyslexic? Because you graduated high school, you're doing well in your life. You're doing just fine. Why would you call yourself dyslexic or whatever you said?
I never really call myself that. Right. I just catch it. But I think I have more than just dyslexia.
You want to be that way or what? You want to think that way?
No, I don't. I'm just working on
overcoming it. Stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that way. You're living your life. You have a family. You have your own home. You have everything. You got a car. You have everything going on. Why to compare yourself to somebody else who you think was smart?
Well, I would say that I probably used to do it a lot more. It's just the memory of it. But I don't think of myself, like, I don't think downly of myself. I'm really, really good at a lot of stuff.
So stop calling
yourself.
I'm
actually really, really smart.
So stop calling yourself autistic. Yesterday you wanted to call yourself that.
I know. So, it's just it's like the traits. That's what they call it. It's the traits that these people have, I have. It's neurodivergent.
No,
that's what they call it.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, that's what they call it.
Stop listening to
that's
the world.
That's what the professionals call it.
Stop listening to the professor. They're dumb. They have no idea what they're talking about.
I agree with you.
Then stop calling yourself that then.
Because I'm proving it all the time. I'm proving it with my learning
Brandy,
problems. I'm
proving
it to the doctors.
Brandy, stop trying to prove it and stop calling yourself that and just live your life.
Right. I do, Jesse. And honestly have changed my life. I was so bad until I met you.
Well, then stop calling yourself dyslexic. There's no such thing as dyslexic.
Yeah.
Dyslexic.
It's just the way that some people are and that they just need to learn differently.
No, they need to leave them alone and let them learn the way they learn. And don't try to make them learn the way somebody else learned, because you have these so-called smart people. And then the people who are supposed to be not so smart comparing themselves to the smart people who are dumb people.
Right. And you know what they do with these kids? They put them in special ed. I was in special ed classes from, I think it was the second grade, because I was falling asleep in social studies. So they caught on every day. I was falling asleep in class. I was so bored.
They didn't have special ed in my school. Everybody was in the same class.
I was born in 83.
Did they have it at your school? Special ed.
Oh, yeah.
Were you in a special ed class?
You kidding me? I was extremely special, but smart type of special.
I can find it. I can test you.
Okay.
Did
you take the short yellow bus or the long yellow bus?
I usually got a ride to school.
Because you were dyslexic. Because
I was spoiled. Some of my friends walked. Very few took the bus.
Oh, really? Uppity
white. We lived in the suburbs.
Uppity white people.
Oh, yeah.
That's because the school was right by your house.
Sometimes my best friend was his mother was a teacher, and so she would pick us up.
Wow, see there? White people be doing favors for each other.
Big time.
So, Brandon, stop calling yourself anything and enjoy your life.
Okay, I will.
That makes sense?
But I agree with the school. I mean, with what you're saying about the school. And I do think that these kids, they are especially anything like this, that they should be homeschooled. And actually, nowadays, they have what's called ABA. I have my son because I'm homeschooling him.
Yeah.
And he got approved for 20 hours a week. So there will be somebody that will come into the house 4 hours every day and work one-on-one with him and just follow him around and explain everything to him and, like, go at his space. Or I can't even say the right word, but like they
pace,
work with him.
Pace.
They meet him at where? Yes, they'll meet him where he's at.
Right on.
And
how old is he?
He's 6 and a half.
Right on. I'm glad you're homeschooling him.
Yeah, I think it's and then watching him and looking at myself and.
But
my
how you gonna homeschool him and you're dyslexic?
Well, I'm actually really, really smart.
So either you're dumb or you're not.
I'm a smart dumb.
Thank you, Brandon. Call me again.
All right.
I got to take a break. 888-77-JESSE. When I come back, straight to your call and your super chat. 888-7753. The hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. But Trump is addressing Congress today, a joint session of Congress. That's exciting. And then there's this Democrat woman, Elisa Slotkin or something. She's going to provide the Democrat response. Not thinking that's going to be very uncringeworthy, although men don't cringe. And tariffs now. Oh, yes, that's exciting. Good news. Tariffs are happening to China, to Canada, and they're trying to do tariffs back at us. I thought that if tariffs only hurt your own populace, then Canada and China shouldn't tariff the stuff that we're sending to them, because it's only going to hurt their citizens, right? No. Anyway, the Ukraine aid, there is a pause. There's a pause in the Ukraine aid. That's good, too. So show some respect. How about a thank you, Volodymyr Zelensky? Nice. Severe weather is coming. Crypto reserve. Trump is going to have a crypto reserve here, and that's exciting. Some people think, oh, it's just self-interest. That's an assumption. They shouldn't be assuming. And SpaceX, failure to launch. We can relate, right? Many people can relate on a failure to launch. I don't know if it's a failure to launch. He said, let's wait until we know for sure, because SpaceX was supposed to do a launch yesterday. But space is still real, guys. And the Himalayan avalanche, India workers were trapped for 36 hours. 46 of them survived, I think. They hid underneath like some crushed metal after an avalanche of snow buried them for a while. And rest in peace to Carl Thomas Dean. Carl Dean, gone at the tender age of 82. That is the late ultra-private, I guess, reportedly, husband of Dolly Parton. She is now a widow. She is now available. This is the end of hour one of, the, no, the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday, March 4th, AD 2025. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls. And we will also get to your super chats. A bunch have come in. Appreciate that. By the way, Men's Forum is first Thursday of the month. That's the 6th in 2 days. And Thursday night, 7 p.m. at Bond in Los Angeles. RebuildingTheMan.com/events. It's Fake News, Not Fake News. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, will soon head to Capitol Hill. If he hasn't already, I don't know what time he speaks. For perhaps the most consequential speech of his second term so far, he is set to deliver an address to Congress a day after he decided to halt U.S. military aid to the Ukraine, which could have dire consequences for the Ukraine's war against Russia. So, what a mess. We'll see what happens. China and Canada are fighting back like little girls. You just walked right in front of me on purpose.
I thought the news was off.
No, the news is on. And so, he walked in front of me again. Nice. No worries, JLP on break for 5 minutes here. Trump enacted a 25% duties on Mexico and Canada, doubled the tariffs on Chinese goods to 20%, up from 10%. So, nice. These went into effect today. Beijing swiftly announced 15% retaliatory tariffs on some American goods, including chicken, wheat, corn, and cotton. That's only going to make prices go up for the Chinese citizens, right? In Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, so-called prime, I call him subprime. He's subprime, right? He's not in his prime anymore. Said that Ottawa, I guess that's the capital of Canada, would immediately respond with tariffs on $30 billion of U.S. goods. That's only going to hurt the Canadian citizens. It's not going to hurt us, right? Anyway, our tariffs threatened to raise the prices Americans pay. But I heard that I use the term very loosely, Starbucks is not going to raise their prices on the coffee. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour three.
Understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show. I forgot we skipped 1 hour. Already! It would still be the third hour if I had done the first hour today. You can get involved by calling 888-777-5377-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, why do you want the approval of anyone else? Why? Why do you want the approval of anyone else? I don't understand that thing in the background. Is he, the black guy, want the approval of those people behind him?
You know, this is, when I look at this, I imagine the spirit of this. Huh? I imagine the spirit of this man. He's, look, you can't tell if he's smiling or sad. It's like,
but it doesn't answer the question. Is it a DEI thing?
No, no, it's just funny. Look at it, and you don't know if his family in the back approves of him or not.
Right.
And I think it shows on his face.
That's what I mean. He's a little happy.
That's what I get from this.
He's a little happy.
But also, like, he could break out in a like sadness at any moment. Like, it's not really there.
Okay. You know, whatever.
This is je ne sais quoi.
Okay. 888-777-5377. And if you're out and about, running around, you can podcast the show. But if you're working out, whatever you're doing, you can be listening to the show. If you have dyslexia or whatever, right? You can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comment read out loud, we're going to get you a super chat here in a minute. To donate and have them read out, your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. And every Tuesday is and will always be Country and Western Tuesday. All my life.
All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe he'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so he could lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. That song. Amazing. That song is so deep, I don't even know what to do with it. Pete, you outdone yourself up there in Alaska. Amazing. 888-775-3773. While Hank is coming in, let me go back to the busy phone. First time caller, Omar out of Arizona. Omar, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Omar.
Jesse, how are you?
All is well, Omar. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
How's it going? I just want to talk a little bit about that dyslexia. I was told I am dyslexic at one point as well.
Who told you that?
So growing up, my mom, I had a hard time learning how to read. You know, I was 5 years older than my sister, and my sister learned to read well before myself. And they would say, the boy's never going to read. They gave me eyeglasses, thought it was my eyes. They did everything. And one old lady in the community said, she was a principal. She said, leave the boy alone. He'll learn.
Yes.
But then I grew up, when I started my business, I meet a lot of people. So I'm an entrepreneur, employee folks as well. Full disclosure, I am an immigrant, but I came here the right way. And started a business, joined the military, started a business, hiring folks right now. And a friend of mine who's a, she does some therapy with dyslexic folks. She gave me a book to read. I was reading the book. And everyone, she said, I wasn't diagnosed, but say, you look like you may have dyslexia. The book says I have dyslexia. And I can say this about dyslexia. Even though they say I may have dyslexia, I can say this. It is what you put on yourself. Because people say I have dyslexia. I have a, sometimes just like that first, that lady that just came out the phone.
Yeah.
We see the back of the word before we see the front of the word. So if you're walking up to me, I see your foot before I see your face. Or if I'm reading, I see the back of the word. For example.
And so do you see the foot before you see the face because you're looking down?
No, you're not looking down, but you see the word kind of backwards, in a sense. So.
So I don't understand. So let me, I'm black and slow, so I apologize.
I'm slower than you, I promise you that.
So, if you saw the word home, H-O-M-E, you would see the E before you see the H?
Yes, you would see him all.
And, how, and why is and how is that? Why is that?
No clue, Jesse. I was never diagnosed. I have no clue. But over the years, what I've learned to do is, and this is one of the reasons, even though I have gone to college and I have degrees, they don't teach how I learn. So with us, we have to learn more verbally than anything else. So the words trip us up, but numbers don't trip us up. And so I don't know what it is, but I just wanted to share on that.
Right.
It doesn't stop you from doing it. That one young girl that was saying that she didn't go to school and she couldn't read, that's her parents' fault. Right?
Yes, I
learned how to read. I learn how to read, and I write articles now, right?
Like, you know, let me ask you this. Yeah. So you went to college and all that. When they told you as a young person that you had dyslexia, did you believe it?
No, I didn't believe none of what they said. I just say, okay, I'm just a little bit slower than the other guys. I was in the second last class in the seventh grade, and I came second last. Right?
Nice.
So I didn't have a problem with that. I still struggle with looking at the word sometimes, but that's not who I am. I just say, hey, I can find other ways to deal with whatever I'm having here, just that I look at things differently. I'm not as smart as my sister who has a PhD in chemistry, but I still run a business and employ people, right?
But then you may be smarter than your sister. You are smart enough to start your own business, and she had to
go
to school. You know what I mean?
Yep. The other thing I want to talk about is how you've helped me. I've been listening to you for about a year and a half now, Jesse, and I promise you, I have struggled with anxiety for years. I am now 41, and I've been dealing with this since I was in my teenage years. I had a breakthrough when I was 19, and I started learning jealousy, all that stuff. I got rid of jealousy, and over the years, I've worked on myself. I've done the silent prayer before I even heard of silent prayer. I call it being present, presence of mind. You're opening the door, you're tying your shoes, you don't think about where you're going, you think about where you are. So I've been doing that ever since. And I've been working on myself. When I was 35, I had a breakthrough. My problem was my mother when she left my dad. And she would talk to me all the time, your daddy did, my daddy's dead. And if I bring up his name and I say, oh, my dad was, he did this for me and I really appreciate that when he did that, she would immediately talk about a moment when he treated her bad. I'm like, why you have to go there? I'm talking about me and him. Why you have to? So she was turning me away from him. And when I started listening to you, even though I was improving myself, even though I was getting better, I was not having as much anxiety. My business was becoming better, and I was writing down these in my notes. I realized there was something missing, and it's forgiveness. And Jesse, I promise you, when I went to her and forgave her, everything changed.
Yeah.
I don't have anger. Yeah. I don't have any kind of addiction, none of that stuff. All my fear, I'm doing business and it's not going well. I just go to bed and sleep, wake up the next morning and it works itself out.
Yes.
And the silent prayer, every morning, every night since I first started listening to you last in 2023, September, never miss. I tell you, if I'm going through the day and something's happening, I can just kick back. I'm in a meeting where people are getting rowdy and in that moment, their clients are getting upset and they're carrying on. I just sit back and I'm listening to them, but I'm doing the silent prayer, and all of their anger just fade away.
Yes,
it's so beautiful. So the one thing that really got me to to really come out of it was forgiveness. And if you think you can do this without forgiving, you're dead wrong.
Right.
You have to go and forgive. And if you don't forgive, you're going to keep falling back in the same trap. So that's all I'm saying, Jesse. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate what you've done here. And, you know, big shout out to the Great White Hope because, you know, we're supporting him.
The Great White Hope. But, you know, you make a good, you know, I talk to a lot of people in counseling and all kind of stuff. And I think that it blows my mind that the one thing amongst others, that God tells us we must do, if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive.
And
it's so misunderstood that I don't even understand it. Because the one thing and the only thing that's going to make you free, well, God makes you free, of course, is that you got to admit that you had this anger and you must forgive by admitting you're wrong for being angry. The one thing that make people free is the one thing that most people don't want to do or will not do.
No. And Jesse, there's one last thing before I go. I used to have problems with females. That was my Achilles heel, women. When they come in my life, they nice to you, they make you feel good, they make you feel wonderful, and then they leave and then you feel torn apart.
Yeah.
And since I've gotten the silent prayer, since I've gone and forgive, since I overcame that nature, I've always a strong man, always like my father, very strong, but that nature of the mother is still in there. Once I got rid of that, you date a female and she come one day and she says, oh, I'm leaving. Jesse, I promise you, we had big plans. She came and she just came, I'm leaving. And I just said, okay, bye. I felt nothing about
it. Right
on. I didn't hate her. I had pure love for her. And if I see her tomorrow, I'll be like, hey, I still love you. Pure love, real love, not this emotional nonsense.
Right on, man. You know? Amazing. Well, you stay with it, Omar. Stay with it. Stay with it. It only gets better.
I will.
That's amazing. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
You're welcome, Jesse. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. You got to drop the anger, folks. And don't let any Christian or anyone tell you that, oh, Jesus was angry. That's your enemy that's telling you that. That the person that tells you that Jesus was angry and anger is good, anger is needed, you're talking to your enemy. You're talking to your enemy. You're talking to someone who's in prison in their own minds and hearts. And they want you to stay there, too. I don't care who it is. Let me go quickly to Jaime. Jaime. Jaime.
Hey, how's it going?
All is well. How welcome to the show.
Oh, that's good. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about people.
Jaime.
Nick,
I'm getting that static in my headset. Yeah, turn him up. I'm going to let Nick listen, but I can hear you through the speaker. Go ahead, Jaime.
Okay. About people with personal responsibility, and that's what we need. And instead of this blaming mentality where people think, oh, I got this and I got that. The doctor told me I'm this. It's an excuse people use. And my wife told me that she's got autism, and I said, you ain't got autism, you're just a little lazy. And then we're going to fix you on that, make you more self-sustaining, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how in my country today, more and more people are complaining of being, like victims. Everybody and their mama a victim. Even the men a victim. And I never imagined that a man would see himself as a victim. A victim.
That's right.
What a mess.
And those kind of people are going to drag us back. And either we help them to become better by becoming self-sustaining, or we leave them behind.
Yeah, you have to leave them behind.
Yep.
You have to leave them behind. Otherwise, they'll drag you down and destroy you.
That's right.
And then they'll go and find some other victim.
About how Trump's going to be talking, telling Congress what's what today. And I'm looking forward to this minerals deal. I'm thinking all I need is $5 to $10 million. Go over there,
buy excavators and rake in all that money. And I need a business partner. And I know you're doing really good with your little show. And now you got the coffee. And
how's your little show? I mean, you're right, man.
Or, yeah. I mean, this is a big opportunity right now. People are looking at the wrong thing, worrying about Elon Musk. Why not become the next Elon Musk, you know?
Yeah.
With this mineral deal. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What? The prior caller. Oh, okay. Amazing, Jaime. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You have a good day.
You too, buddy. Amazing. Bye. Super 888-77, Jesse. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Over. Over on YouTube, IndoWars gave a super chat just as we were wrapping up the super chats yesterday. Bucket of water cash. Laughing face emoji with tears coming out sideways.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, IndoWars.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And Julie also gave a late coming super chat yesterday. Thanks for talking to me, Jesse. I was nervous, but it helped.
Thank you, Julie. Amazing.
Shout out.
Yeah.
And Cornerstone also yesterday at the very end of the show gave a cash app saying thank you with thanks hands emoji. Person of color, thanks hands emoji.
He black. Thank you. Is he black?
Maybe. Or Indian.
Oh, yeah. They just person of color means he's not white, huh?
Right.
Okay.
And Tom bought a coffee over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. So I always hear people call in or say in church, I'm aware of the thoughts coming in, but they still get to me. The only reason they still come is because you are not aware and you think you are. It's like being blind in one eye, so you can't stop someone's left hook because you can't see it, says Tom.
Well, no, Tom, what they're doing wrong, I mean, what they're doing is they're not aware enough to catch him. And if they stay with it, eventually, they'll be able to catch them before they turn to emotions, and then eventually they will have no thoughts at all. Really, they just have to practice all during the day being present. Amazing.
There's thoughts on top of thoughts.
Yeah. So you just have to practice being present. Thank you, Tom.
Danny Moore bought a coffee. All right, Jesse and the lads. Jesse, James, do you know what religion those blacks from the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, were who killed those black Christians allegedly? I added allegedly. Was it a known religion or some Ooga Booga one? Asks Danny. I don't know.
Me either. I don't know either. Interesting question.
I don't want to speculate either.
Yeah, me either.
Although I'm tempted to, but I won't.
Resist the temptation.
Thank you, Danny.
And flee from you.
Indeed.
Amazing. Thank you, Danny.
Good question. Sion gave a couple of super chat, super stickers this morning. One with a puff with pom-poms and a leaf sticking out the back of his head. And another a headband pair with Punchy's coffee.
Amazing.
I'm calling it Punchy's coffee. But it was a coffee.
Enjoy, Sion, the Punchy's coffee. And the Punchy's coffee, folks, is available at rebuildingaman.com/store. Good. Have fun, Sion. Thank you.
Thank you kindly, Sion.
Yep.
Anthony on Cash App, he gave a few. Did you see Zelensky dancing in high heels YouTube video? That must be old. I heard that he used to do something like that.
He was an actor or
a comedian. Yeah, and he would, you know how a bunch of actors and comedians dress up like women?
Right, yeah.
I think he might have done that.
Well, okay, yeah, I remember I heard that he was an actor or something. I think that's what you're looking at.
Terrible.
Amazing, thank you.
Anthony gave another cash out saying, a country and western good morning, yahoo.
Yahoo, thank you.
And he also gave one more, rolling, rawhide. Very nice.
Amazing movie.
Great
Cowboy
song.
Show, yeah. Thank you.
Christine from Cali bought a coffee. Hi, Jesse. What should women use social media for? To read, observe, and post educational content like cooking, gardening, etc.? You said a woman shouldn't teach over men. Also, women should maintain dignity and not overexpose themselves to gain attention online. What are your recommendations?
That they listen to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV and the American Anchor Baby.
Thank you, Christine from Cali.
Your back hurt? He just had
you could
pain.
Call it my back. It's like my shoulder and neck.
He had a pain in what I did.
Drama king. Just and call me a drama king.
He went like this.
Oh.
What the?
But I'm tough.
Peter back.
Alpha. Matthew bought a coffee. Hi, Jesse. Am I right saying there's no need to feel guilty or go around apologizing for the not you all the time after you've forgiven your parents and all?
Right. Be done with that. Absolutely be done with that. Amazing.
RH the fourth bought 7 at coffees. Jesse, if my wife ever decided she doesn't want to obey, I'm going to tell her, just like Trump, you're gambling with World War III.
That's right. Absolutely.
Disobedient Zelensky. I shake my head.
Amazing.
No more thoughts.
I heard that a report, I don't know if it's true or not, but he met with the Democrats before he met Trump that day because he was supposed to just sign the deal.
Uh-huh.
But he met with the Democrats and they told him something. And then it's being said, I don't know how true that had an influence on him acting that way out there.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats want to use that against Trump.
I wanted to say that he was kind of used to only kissing up to the liberals.
Yeah.
And he's not used to having to deal with men who actually care about the country.
But I thought they were just giving him the money anyway.
Yeah, he was just kind of on autopilot.
Like he would come into the bank.
Like it was
when he come to
like
America.
This is how it's supposed to go. I'm supposed to come here and get more money.
Yeah, and apply the Congress apply him and he go home.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
No More Thoughts says in the recent Punchy TV episode that premiered yesterday, toward the end you guys talked about first the Jews, then the Gentiles. Nobody mentioned Jesus said a parable about just that. He referenced some important guy, God, who invited some folks to his party, Jews, but they kept making excuses not to attend. Then he said, go into the streets and invite everybody because the party will happen whether people are invited or not. He's saying the Jews have the priority initially because they're privileged, but no big deal. God will have his party and everyone will be able to attend, but many won't, but some will.
Jesus said they were privileged?
Yeah.
They didn't have no word like privileged back then.
Well, I know, but he was interpreting.
Oh, I see.
These days, one could say if the so-called Christians don't really care to receive him, God will go to the non-believers and so-called sinners just as well, says No More Thoughts.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I agree.
I understand the privilege words now. I thought he was saying that was in the Bible.
No, yeah. Okay. He was just putting his word for...
Nice. Appreciate it.
How he describes how he saw it. Rob gave 3 coffees. The JLP show is the best show on YouTube.
Amazing. Thank you, and thanks for your support.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
I agree. Jamil bought a coffee. Jesse, I've been watching for a while. Totally agree. Church has only been getting better and better. Church with Jesse Lee Peterson. Keep it going. Thanks to you and the crew.
Thank you, and thanks for your support. RebuildingTheMan.com/church. At 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Heard around the world. And for the flat earthers, up and down the world, it's for everybody. Check it out. Thank you.
Nikki bought 10 coffees. Very generous. My boyfriend had insomnia for 7 years, and it's killing him. I told him to stop thinking of his pain, and it had a powerful impact on him. Your guidance has helped me support his healing. I love you.
Right on. Thank you. Amazing. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. I want to get you some...
We'll read the rest of later, guys.
Thank you. Amazing. I'm looking at the clock here and the time going by. Sarah out of North Carolina. Sarah, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well.
Okay. First, I want to give the kudos to Nick because he's very professional on the phone.
Nice.
And,
the anchor baby.
I didn't mean to say Nick. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
so we need to take that praise away from Nick.
Derek. Yeah, I'm taking it away.
Oh, Nick, you were smiling for no reason.
Well, yeah, kudos to Nick, too.
Now the smile is turned upside down.
Okay, tell him I'm sorry.
Right on.
I love Nick. I love all you guys.
Thank you. You meant Derek.
Derek. I don't know why I had Nick on my mind, but anyway.
Ooh.
Tell Derek he's very professional on the
phone.
Okay,
absolutely.
And I want to get to the dyslexia thing because I became an expert at it when my son was little. And that girl who's suing the school system, her parents absolutely knew something was wrong with her. So blame the parents. Because when my son was five, he came home with a piece of paper. And I looked at it, I thought, well, what kind of gibberish is this? But because my husband, and dyslexia runs in families, that's a fact, my husband was severely dyslexic too. I held that paper up to the mirror, and I could read it perfectly. And it said, my name is Noah, I'm 5 years old. But when you looked at it, it was completely reversed until you held it to a mirror. I started homeschooling him in first grade because he was getting picked on and called dummy, stupid, and had a speech impairment, too. And so he really got picked on. But my husband graduated from high school, and he couldn't spell. He still can't spell. That's his big weakness. But anyway, so that's absolutely a real thing. And I wanted to tell you that these people are not dumb. They're very intelligent. And I got a list here of a few that has had or has dyslexia. Albert Einstein, Steven Spielberg, Jay Leno, Tom Cruise, Walt Disney, Henry Winkler did a whole series on that. He could not read the script, so he would memorize it and did ad-lib. Jennifer Anderson, Anderson Cooper. There's just so many. Danny Glover. Magic Johnson, Pablo Picasso was dyslexic. Henry Ford, and it goes on and on. So
but
this has been around
who
forever.
Who put the word dyslexic? Who called it that? Rather than just leave it as it is. Don't call it anything.
Right, but the problem is when my husband went to school and had it, and he graduated. He ended up going to the principal's office, getting whipped with a belt, beat with a board, because that was back in those days, you know, when principals could do that. Because what he would do, he fought his way through school. And he told me that. He said, when they'd come up to him and they'd call him stupid, he said, I'd fight them. I got to go to the office. I got to sit outside of the classroom in a chair with a dunce cap on.
Oh, and that, I see.
I don't want my son to go through that. That's when right. We decided, I'm not smart, but I believe I can do better than that.
So and I've been so told that Elon Musk, according to Inc. magazine, Elon Musk struggled with reading and writing as a child. So they're saying that Elon Musk is dyslexic as well.
He probably is.
But he's so smart. If dyslexic is Elon Musk, give me dyslexic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They usually are very smart. They have high IQs. I have my son tested. But when it comes to these other things, they're usually kind of awkward and socially awkward around people.
Right.
Because, you know, but they learn. They figure it out.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate it. I got to take a break. The Treasure Chest is now open on D-Live. Thank you, Sarah. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, the Hastie Report is coming up, 9 a.m. Pacific Hour, right at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11. And then Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. He black. And then the American Anchor Baby. He is back at 12 noon Pacific Time. And the American Anchor Baby, we went up to Las Vegas yesterday to do the Hearts Twins show. And Anchor Baby, you've never gone to Vegas before, right?
No. I saw those.
So that's why you started gambling as soon as we walked in the airport.
I mean, you went to the bathroom. I thought I had a minute. I just jumped on the slots. They were right there when you get off the plane. It's the craziest
like,
thing.
What is this?
I didn't. You can put your credit card in there. You could connect your bank, I saw. You can sit there, connect your bank, and just deposit money straight from your bank.
That's
gamble.
Crazy. Ain't no way I would do something like that. This a person that's addicted to that, they will lose all their money right there from the bank. But no, he didn't go to the slot machine. I'm just playing. I did remind that we are in Vegas. We're not in Canada, okay?
What happens in Vegas is supposed to stay in Vegas, that's right. Jesse.
No, he didn't use the slot machine. He didn't go to the slot machine. Just joking. Nick is a Christian. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't gamble. Did you hear about this story? I want to give it to you really quick. And here's an example of an abnormal behavior from a mother and a daughter. And you still want to say anger is good, huh? May God have mercy on your soul, those who believe that anger is good. It's necessary. You can control anger. You've been lied to. NBC Bay Area. A Pittsburgh police department said it arrested two women that, I mean, they believe were involved with kicking a dog in Pittsburgh and wielding a firearm at a neighbor. Watch this from NBC Bay Area.
The search is over. Tonight, Pittsburgh police say they found who they were looking for in Oakland, a mom and her daughter, both placed in handcuffs. Police say they're the women seen in this viral video involving a dog named Gigi. Gigi's owner posted the video to social media. It shows what happened in his front yard. Ultimately, Gigi was kicked and went flying.
She hit the planter right here. I mean, she hit it hard. It wasn't like she got kicked and tumbled. She got kicked and smashed against the planter is what happened.
We spoke to Gigi's owner earlier this week. He says this all followed a dispute with his neighbor who ran over his plant.
You yelling at my mama over there?
And that his neighbor's daughter and granddaughter came over and threatened him with a gun. Then one of the women kicked his dog.
Any juror that sees that video is going to be appalled, and this would be a very difficult case to take to trial.
Amazing, huh? Now you see why no one wants the blacks in their neighborhoods? This is why. One example why. They're too angry, they're too violent, and they're out of control. You know what I'm talking about, mama, like that? This is why the blacks need to stay in the hood and do their mess over there. Nobody wants you in the neighborhood. You got to drop this anger, black people. And not all, but most. Because some blacks are starting to work on overcoming men and women. A legal analyst said the court may require the women to complete anger management. Like, that's going to help. Watch this.
Legal analyst Stephen Clark thinks the police and the district attorney wanted to send a message to the community that this type of behavior is not acceptable.
And that's someone I think the court is going to want to see do anger management and other counseling to address that issue. And they likely would not be able to own an animal during the period of probation.
Police say Gigi is safe at home tonight. Her owner doesn't want to speak on camera, but thanks the community for their support.
Amazing. This is why they don't want you in their neighborhood. And you wonder why do the black move out? I mean, the whites move out when you move in. This is why. I didn't grow up like this. The black youth was not like this in the good old days. This happened within the last 70 years or so, give or take. 888-7753-773. Let me go quickly to Nick out of Florida. Nick, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well.
I just wanted to ask you, so I, a while ago, probably like a month ago, moved away from my mom, moved across the country, and I have a girlfriend, and I've been here, you know, 3 weeks to a month, and I've been paying super close attention to what's happening on inside of me, mm-hmm. and I let her visit me, and when she left, I could, like, feel it was like undeniable. It was like I was losing my God. And I just wanted to ask you, like, I don't want to feel that. I'm sick of feeling that way. It's the worst. It sucks. I don't want to feel that way. Like, how do I start overcoming that? Do I just be aware of it?
Oh, when this girl left you, you felt like you were losing your God?
Yeah, it was just like...
Okay, here's what you do. If you do it, I promise you it'll work. When you get that feeling, just notice the feeling, relax in the feeling. Don't try to get rid of it. Don't try to deny it or anything. Just watch it. And watching it, it will be taken away from you, and you will never have to deal with it again. Because it's just a spirit, it's just evil spirits trying to make you think that it's you. And those feelings that you're getting are not happening to you. It's an illusion. It's in the thoughts and in emotions, and it's not real. So just feel it and do nothing about it. Go on with your day. Don't call it you. Don't be like, oh, I feel this and I feel that. And now if you're communicating, you got to say I. But just know you feel the feeling in your body, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it will be taken away from you. If you don't try to stop it, it will be done for you.
Okay, good. That's what I did because I heard you say that, and I started doing that with some feelings that I had.
Yes.
And, yeah, they just get taken away.
Absolutely. Because there's a spirit that made a home in your mind, your imagination, and emotion. Well, you can't have the feeling unless you have the thoughts first. And so just watch it. Don't be all, and the devil's going to tell you, oh, you're never going to get this. You're never going to get over this. You're never this. Don't believe it. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just watch it.
I wanted to say on the dyslexia thing.
Yeah.
My mom and my school teachers and everything, when I was a kid, told me that I was dyslexic. And when they told me that and they did things on my eyes and a bunch of stuff, and then it was hard for me to read. And after, like, I left high school, I haven't even thought about it at all. And I'm reading right fine, and I own a business. I started a business. And
right on, man.
Ridiculous.
Well, I was number 18. Honestly, there were 18 people in my class, and I was number 18. And I only made an A on a test once, and that was an accident, true and false. I had to impress. But the word dyslexic, I didn't know about that word. And I just thought I didn't care that much about school. I like school in that I like to go and have fun, play ball, you know, basketball, run track, and play around. But I never thought of myself in that way at all.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's just,
right on.
Just is ridiculous. And I think the same way, like, people say I'm so, like, the smartest person they've met. And I don't know, we just think different. I don't
fall for that either, yeah. Don't look at yourself as neither smart nor dumb. Just live your life.
Perfect. Can I ask you one quick more question?
Real fast.
I know you say want for nothing.
Right.
And I have these, like I want to sail around the world, and I want to, like, live on a boat eventually. I want to do those things, and I can feel it like it's like my heart. Like, I can feel my heart because I've been looking in. Like, my heart kind of almost yearns for that. What is that?
Don't want it that badly. It's enough to know that you like to get a boat, you like to sail around the world, you like to live on the ocean. Just leave it as that. but don't get all into it when you start to identify with it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't identify with it.
And that way, if it happens, it'll be amazing. And if it doesn't, it'll be amazing.
Perfect. Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Jesse.
You're welcome, buddy. You stay with it, though. Stay with it.
I will. I promise. I can never stop.
Right on. Amazing. Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let me go to the first-time caller out of Massachusetts, Billy. Billy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Let me get off speakerphone here. Hi. Oh, nice to talk to you.
You too, Billy.
Big fan.
Thank you.
I wanted to say I love the Great White Hope.
The Great White Hope. Making America
great
again.
And you remember in the, I'm as old as you. You probably remember 60s, 70s TV commercials. The white tornado.
The white tornado. Mr.
Clean.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Clean. We'll clean your house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean.
Yeah. Trump is cleaning house, man.
And everything that's in it.
Yeah.
That's a good
point. And they mama.
Everybody and they mama.
I love you, Jesse. I love your colloquialisms. And when can we see the Hodge twins? I love those guys, too.
I don't know when yet. We just recorded yesterday. But as soon as I know, I'll announce it on the air.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
It's like when you're always asking the question of the day.
Do you want to respond to the biblical question, or you have a question yourself?
No, I have a question.
Okay.
It's kind of a philosophical thing, but it's something I really thought of. Can you have hope without faith?
No, you don't want hope, and you don't want faith. You just want to live. Oh. You want to live knowing the truth rather than hoping for it or trying to have faith in it. You want to live knowing the truth. You want to live in the light. You want to stay with the light and just live by the light. And in that way, you don't have to hope for anything or try to have faith in anything.
I try. My whole life I've been working for something and trying, striving for something, things. And you changed my way of looking at life overall.
You like to change that the way you see it now?
You made me change my way of thinking.
Right on. Well, with that. You just practice staying with the light, stay present, and let all hope and all belief and all that go, and you walk in the light, meaning don't be lost in your imagination in the past or the future. And I'm telling you, it will be amazing for you.
I try. Thank you for your insight, Jesse.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yeah, and my father a long time ago, and they passed quite a while ago now.
Okay.
I have a hard time forgiving my ex-wife. Not for what she did to me, but what she did to my kids and just breaking up the family, you know?
Yeah.
It never ends, really, so it's kind of...
Well, just don't be angry at her. It's the same spirit that was driving you when you were angry and out of control. It's the same thing that's happening with her. And so forgive her and then forget about it. Don't have anything to do with her.
Oh, yeah. And she's a never Trumper, too. She's everything that's bad. So I never see her if I can, if I have a choice. I'm living in a little enclave in the country in the midst of communist Massachusetts, you know.
Right.
My town, I think, voted Trump, and, there's quite a few districts that did go for Trump. So,
right on. Amazing. Yeah. Well, you just stay working on you, and you'll be fine, all right?
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
Call me again, buddy. I appreciate it.
I will. Thank you, man. Have a good day.
You too, buddy. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Jacob out of California. Jacob, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, like, Trump and his assassination attempts.
Yes.
And who like, planned it and, like, funded it. I think it was the Democrats with the Ukrainians, because they got the most to lose, and the EU. Because if Trump pulls out of NATO, then everything over there changes.
Well, I don't know if those are the people who tried to assassinate him, but I do know that by the United States pulling out of all that mess, those countries are going to suffer for sure. And as Trump said, they're taking all our money, they're using us, and we're getting nothing back in return.
Yeah, and given Trump, he's not going to allow that to keep happening. So it's going to happen, just a matter of time.
That's right. Absolutely. And I like the fact that the president is moving fast on this. I hear people say, oh, he's moving too fast. He's moving too fast for who? He's moving fast. He's getting the job done as he said that he would.
Yeah, that's it. It really, the country really needs that. It's I mean, I'm not even proud really to, you know, to be an American as much anymore, to be honest. But I mean, but the reason why I think the Ukrainians planned it, because one of the shooters had foreign bank accounts in the EU. He had and the Ukrainians just got, what, like $400 billion? So, I mean, who else has that kind of money right now just to spend?
Yeah. Well, as we all know, Trump is good for for Ukraine. And that he wants to end the war. Just think about that, man. He wants to end the war so he can stop the killing of other people. And this man seemed as though, what's that man's name?
Zelensky.
Zelensky, he doesn't really want to end the war. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he's with the globalists over there, with George Soros and all those. He's just a puppet for them, I think. And, I mean, Putin is looking more like a Christian than really any other nation right now. I mean,
that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. The oldest Christian churches are in Russia.
That's amazing. I would like to visit there one day when they get all this mess straightened out, because I've heard that about the churches. And I know one time Putin was, like, really into Christianity, and he wouldn't put up with a lot of the crap that we were putting up with over here because he is a Christian. So I would like to visit Russia one day.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And, like, I think when Lazinski was telling, like, the Russians that were speaking, he was telling them that they can't speak Russian. They had to speak Ukrainian. And it started in the church because they make a lot of money right there. So they're just like, hey, you know, don't do this in Russian. You have to do this in Ukrainian. And they want the money. So it started right there, and they started killing Christians that spoke Russian, and then that's when it just spilled out to the streets.
What a mess. Well, I appreciate it, man, because of time, I got to run, but thanks for calling me, Jacob.
Okay, yep. All right, Jesse, take care.
You too, buddy. I don't know all the what's going on with all this mess, but I do know that I'm glad Trump is in charge right now. Super chat. Super.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Charles bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse, you were talking about your Delta flight earlier, and I can tell you the blacks have taken over Delta here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They only hire gay black men and fat black women as flight attendants. They will sell Delta in less than 10 years because they will destroy it, says Charles.
One thing for sure, you're right about that. If they continue to allow the blacks to take it over, it ain't going to last much longer. You're going to be more fights on there and all kind of things going to be happening. It's not going to last. That's just the way it is. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone says, sir, I've been married to this lady over 10 years. She has a 35-year-old son, not mine. And she worships. She conceded him through R-word, rape. the guy is not the son in the son's life. However, her boyfriend at the time took on the responsibility as father, and they're still living that lie. I wanted to ask questions about some stuff concerning that. However, do I need to mind my business?
Yes. Yeah, leave them alone. Let them live their own misery, and you work on you, really. Just wish them well, meaning don't be angry at them, and you just keep your eyes on you. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, someone. Gregatron says, Jesse, you still owe us 1 hour.
I know. What the?
Crichton over on Rumble, I will never let a man drag me down so low as to send an emoji. George Washington Carver.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thought that was funny. Jules gave a Rumble rant. Can you see the evil in people without judging them?
Absolutely. When you stop judging and you see the evil that you've overcome or is overcoming, you're going to see it in others even without trying, and it will be impossible. Impossible. That's what you are to me. Impossible. Yeah. You'll be impossible to judge them. You will not be able to judge once you see what's going on in you. Amazing. Thank you.
Spanky Spank bought a coffee. Where can I listen to Pete from Alaska's song? It needs to be on platforms, yo.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but as soon as Pete let us know, we'll let you know.
Harmony Grits. Love Country and Western Tuesdays. Cowboy emoji.
Country and Western Tuesday. And what's that guy's name? The little black guy, the guy we wore because she's black.
Oh, Beyonce?
And Beyonce is not a country and western singer.
Agreed.
She only got the award because she's a DEI patient. Amazing. Thank you.
Shout out to the top contributors on the DLive crew. Games for Rec, Groovy Monkey, Misty, 555-555-565, and the rest of the supporters, as always, as well as the Rumble crew, Buddy 1205, Jules, Crichton, DJ 2020, Age of Inversion, and of course, Pastor Chatelet and the rest. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
I do believe that is all for now.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to first time caller, Elwin, out of Chicago.
What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Elwin.
Hey, I want to know, man, if your parents have passed, what's the best way to forgive them?
Just realize, just as you can't help yourself, you're being controlled by anger. You don't want to be that way. They couldn't help themselves. The same spirit that's in you was in them, and they passed it on to you. And then seeing that you can't help yourself will cause you to naturally forgive them. They could not help
you. Say that one more time, man.
You see how you can't help yourself? You're being controlled by anger?
Yes.
They had the same problem. They couldn't help themselves. They were being controlled by anger that was passed down to them from their mothers.
I understand that, so but how do I forgive them? They're gone already.
Just by realizing that they could not help themselves.
Oh, okay. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Jesse, man. Appreciate you, bro.
You're welcome. You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, all right?
Yeah, man.
Amazing. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. Amazing. Michael out of Florida. Real fast, Michael.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Michael.
My question is, what do you do whenever the temptation of anger comes? Like, whenever, how do you deal with it?
Just watch it. Don't deal with it. Just watch it and don't call it you. Don't run away from it. Don't deny it. Just watch it. And the light of God will take it away from you. It's a spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, don't do anything about it, all right? Just watch it.
Okay, so even if I'm like in front of somebody and they're tempting me to be angry, I just stay blank and just let it happen in my head.
100%.
Okay, perfect.
And don't call it you. Amazing. Thank you, Michael.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
All right. I'm out of time, CJ. You were laughing. I still made it. Beta. Hate is a beta.
Whatever.
I'm out of time, though. The Hate Report is coming up now. Then join up Friday at 11, A-Black, and then the Anchor Baby, American Anchor Baby. Get on that straight and narrow, folks. I promise you, you can have perfect peace. You got to forgive your mothers and your father, every human being on earth. and then the devil would say, oh, your mother was a saint. That's not true. It is not true. Forgive her. Grandmama and mama, they couldn't help themselves, all right? And do the silent prayer. RebuildingTheMan.com/prayer. And the, your donations and super chats, thank you all so much. I do appreciate it. Forgive and work on you. You're responsible for your world. You are responsible for your world. La, la, la. La, la, la. The American Acre Baby theme on the shirt. All right, folks. Thank you all. I'll be back tomorrow if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Have a good day.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this, and young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling